Welcome back to another episode of Diagnosing a Killer, The Mental Breakdown. I'm Kenna.
And I'm Coel.
We always say that.
Very busy day.
It's been a day.
Yeah.
It has been a day.
Happy eclipse day.
Yeah, absolutely. It was freaking wild. We had the privilege of being in the area where the eclipse was complete for maybe 2 minutes, and it got pretty dark. It was really wild. Unfortunately, there was a lot of cloud coverage where we are, so we didn't really get to see it fully, but we still got the effects of it.
I was just working, so.
Yeah, you were inside. Well, I sent you a picture.
You did, and it was a really pretty picture.
Yeah, it was really weird. All the birds stopped chirping, like, all at once.
Ew.
Really weird.
Ew. Like,
oh, it's time for bed. Good night.
They're just like, ah!
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, before we get started, I do have a mental breakdown today that I think is interesting. But if this is anyone's first time here, would you like to give everyone our social media handles?
Sure, you can check us out on social media anywhere at Diagnosing a Killer, other than X, formerly known as Twitter, which is at Killer Diagnosis. We have a Venmo, PayPal, Cash App, and then we also have a Gmail, which is diagnosingakiller@gmail.com.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just wanted to quickly pepper this in here. We have amended our Patreon just a little bit. So if you're new, we have patreon.com/diagnosiakiller available. We have added a new tier one. So tier one is now going to include ad-free mental breakdowns and a free goodie upon sign up with a shipping address, of course. Tiers 2, 3, and 4 are all going to have ad-free every episode that comes out. And tiers 3 and 4 only will have that additional bonus episode towards the end of each month.
Yeah.
So just a little bit of a difference now in our Patreon. Go check that out if you are new here. And a big thank you to our existing Patreon members. We have about 11 of those bonus episodes out now. So if you want to go binge those with our other fellow Patreon members, go over to patreon.com/diagnosingakiller.
And just a reminder that when you do sign up for your Patreon, just give us that little shipping information and we will send you some goodies upon sign up. Also, with those free goodies, there's also free shipping, and that is within the contiguous United States.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. One last thing before we get started, because it's coming so fast around the corner. We are going to the True Crime and Paranormal Podcast Festival for the second year running in July. That's going to be in Denver, Colorado, from the 12th through the 14th. Come check us out there. We're super excited to meet everyone that's already bought tickets and see all of our friends, as well as meet the new podcasters. If you go to their website, you can use our promo code DAK for 15% off those tickets. Okay, are you ready to do this mental breakdown?
Yeah.
Okay, so today we are going to be talking about the different types of mania.
Okay.
Manias, if you will.
Hmm.
Content warning, this episode contains conversation including severe mental health symptoms, talk of suicidal thoughts or actions, and manic symptoms. If this episode is not for you, we encourage you to find another one of our episodes. Remember, your mental health is very important, and we love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
So yes, different types of manias. So we're going to just go through. There's just a couple that are really common. There's a bunch that exist, but a couple that are very common that we'll talk about today. Do just want to give a really quick shout out to choosingtherapy.com. Most of the information in this episode is provided by a Dr. Matt Glowiak. He's a PhD and a licensed clinical professional counselor. He wrote the article that I referenced when I made this research.
Cool.
So the DSM-5 defines mania as being a distant period of abnormally and persistently elevated, expansive, or irritable mood with persistent goal-driven activity or energy. Mania is often a symptom of bipolar disorder, but it is not exclusive to this diagnosis.
Hmm.
And I noticed as I was doing this research, we haven't even done bipolar disorder as a mental breakdown.
What?
How have we not done that yet?
That's like part of the reason we do the podcast.
I know.
Is that a specific diagnosis?
Maybe we unintentionally avoided it.
Maybe that's what it is.
Thinking about it.
Subconscious.
Right? It's a coping mechanism. So while mania is very prevalent in bipolar disorder, it can also commonly be seen in postpartum psychosis, schizoaffective disorder, and seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, as well as others. The onset of mania is usually described by people who experience it as a breath of fresh air of sorts, as compared to recurrent periods of severe depression, suicidal ideation, or social withdrawal. The condition can vary from person to person, with some people experiencing comorbid symptoms during their mania as well. These symptoms can include but are not limited to psychosis, hallucinations, delusions, euphoria, intense moods, and hyperactivity.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of things. As a result of mania, some people may also make rash financial decisions, engage in dangerous substance abuse or dangerous behavior in general, or engage in other types of self-destructive behavior. There are hundreds of different types of manias, like I said earlier, similarly to how there are hundreds of different types of phobias. But there are, again, some that are very common. So the first type that we're going to talk about is called euphoric mania.
Are we top 100-ing this?
No, not really, because there's only like four.
Gonna do it anyways.
Euphoric mania is a condition that is described as incredible, beautiful, fantastic, expansive, and or unbelievable by the people who have experienced it.
So it's like shrooms.
Yes.
Or like, yeah.
Just a really, really feel-good feeling.
Yeah.
This type of mania is typically welcomed by the person experience it at its onset, and since it is such a good feeling, it can be hard to determine if it is mania or simply a person admiring life.
Interesting.
Right. It's like, are you just, like, in a really good mood, or are you, like, having a breakdown?
No, the colors are brighter, and air tastes sweeter.
This type of mania is also commonly called classical mania, and can include other symptoms such as hypersexuality, a feeling of invincibility, and an extreme feeling of just energy in general. So another common type of mania is dysphoric mania, and this is described as a combination of mania with agitated depression.
Oh.
So it's a little bit of both here.
Yeah.
People experiencing this type of mania often describe it as if they are coming out of their skin or their mind, and it's also been described as feeling at war with one's body.
Oh my god.
That's so shitty. I don't like that. Along with these feelings, this type of mania can include depressive or even suicidal thoughts. This type of mania is difficult to handle due to the fact that it's part mania and part depression, so managing the symptoms is a little trickier.
Yeah, that I know that you've already said that mania is a comorbidity or a symptom of bipolar disorder.
Yes.
So do you think that there's some, I mean, you can answer my question later if you want, but are there more specific manias that are geared towards someone with bipolar disorder, or is it not mutually exclusive is what I'm asking?
Yeah, no, so, like, essentially any of these types of manias can be seen with someone with bipolar disorder, but if you have, I don't remember which one is which, like, bipolar type 1 or type 2, but if you have the depressive type, you're more likely to see, like, this type where it's mixture of mania and depression. If you have the manic type, it's probably more of like the euphoric mania because you're more manic than depressed.
Yeah.
And then on the other one, you're more depressed than manic.
Okay.
But I don't think they're interchangeable or like, yeah, just set with one another. I think that they can all kind of occur.
Because like if something's organic, it's already non-GMO.
Mm-hmm.
But something that's non-GMO doesn't necessarily have to be organic.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, for sure. No, I think that they're all kind of interchangeable.
Okay.
So the next one is called psychotic mania, and this is another very commonly seen type. This is a type of manic condition in which one experiences delusions or hallucinations while manic. So like you were asking earlier, I feel personally that this would be more connected to maybe a schizoactive disorder rather than bipolar disorder because it does come with the hallucinations and delusions.
Yeah.
Again, this can be extremely difficult to handle, especially as a person witnessing the mania. As the person that is experiencing it may not even be aware of what's reality and what's not.
Right.
So it's how are you going to explain to them that this is a manic symptom?
Yeah.
Along with hallucinations and delusions, psychotic mania may come with abnormally elevated or extreme changes in mood. When someone is experiencing psychotic mania, it usually occurs during the most severe part of the manic episode, but it actually goes away as quickly as the episode does. So someone could be experiencing manic symptoms, and then, like, at the most severe part of that, that's when the psychotic manic symptoms come in, but they both end at the same time.
Okay.
That makes sense.
So it's, like, all part of one episode, if you will.
Yes, I think so.
Or experience. Okay.
Lastly, hypomania is very common. Hypomania is similar to mania, but to a lesser extent of intensity. Again, this one can be difficult to determine because it can't very easily be seen that the person's experience isn't just experiencing it, excuse me, isn't just in a good mood. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh, you're usually in a bad mood. You seem like you're in a better mood today, but it's not like, wah, like full-blown mania. So it's really hard to tell. Hmm. Also, this type of mania is known to last for a shorter period of time as a full-blown manic episode. So even more difficult to tell because it's like, it's not lasting all day. It may last for a few hours.
So someone that might have these reoccurring might not even get a diagnosis.
Exactly. So how do you spot a manic episode? Although manic episodes may seem like they occur suddenly from an outside perspective, there are various signs that suggest a manic episode is in the works. According to the National Alliance on Mental Illness, I always refer to them, so I wanted to shout them out. Some of the signs of a manic episode include hypersensitivity to stimuli, the inability to focus, unrealistic confidence or delusions of grandeur, like we've said before, the inability to listen to other people, insomnia, spending money beyond what one can afford, obsessing over things, and generally just not taking care of oneself. Mm. A lot of things. And that's also tricky because a lot of those things can be caused by other mental disorders.
Right.
And it's not necessarily manic. It's just a symptom of their disorder.
Right.
Of course, these symptoms will look differently in children, teens, adults, and even seniors. So it's important to pay attention to signs that suggest the person who is showing symptoms is truly in a manic episode. Mm. Although bipolar disorder is not usually diagnosed until late adolescence, some patients may not be diagnosed at all, like you were saying. This is due to the fact that some people can sometimes show signs of mania in their early years, and it might simply be pushed aside as just part of their personality.
Like an overactive kid or something?
Right. Hmm. Unfortunately, when this condition becomes left undiagnosed and therefore untreated, it can cause one to internalize and have trouble functioning in daily life. Hmm. So I said earlier that mania can be a symptom of different types of mental health disorders. So the first one that we talked about was bipolar disorder. Many people with bipolar disorder also struggle with substance abuse. When a manic episode begins in someone with bipolar disorder, it will become a little more obvious, especially if they have the depressive type. A person who is usually depressed, suddenly showing signs of hope and pure happiness, is typically a sign of mania. However, this can quickly turn into one being more comfortable with substance use, and they may begin to use it more because they're feeling good. You know, oh, I can drink more tonight because I'm feeling good.
It either, makes you feel good or sometimes suppresses the depression or, those low feelings or vice versa.
People with bipolar disorder having a manic episode may also take themselves off of their medication or take it upon themselves to leave therapy, thinking that they no longer require it.
How did we not cover bipolar?
I know, I'm telling you. Like, we have a firsthand account of this.
Yeah, and what's interesting is when we had Mom on the DAK Live, she even talked about that ebb and flow when it came to medication with her sister. Yeah,
definitely. Of course, this is not the case, and it is important for people with bipolar disorder to continue their meds and their treatment even when they're feeling great. People who experience mania along with schizoaffective disorder typically experience heightened awareness around their hallucinations and delusions. They will typically even share more information about their hallucinations or delusions, and they'll typically talk about it out loud more, like, to you.
Hmm.
Oh, do you see that guy? Or, you know, things like that. It might not be that exact verbiage, but they're more open about it when they're experiencing mania.
It's like, you know, maybe some people seem a little, with, like, conspiracy theories and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, that is folly to do all over again.
Yeah, folly to do.
Hallucinations and delusions can, of course, increase in intensity in patients with schizoaffective disorder, excuse me. When it comes to patients with substance use disorder, they may experience elevated self-confidence during their manic episodes. If certain drug use increases, such as uppers like methamphetamine, one could lose sleep, causing other symptoms to arise, such as unclear thinking, poor self-care, and engaging in risky behaviors.
Yeah, especially if you're already experiencing those, I would say, like, side effects or symptoms. I forget which one is which, because you see one and then the other occurs internally, right?
I think so, yeah.
And so I guess side effects would be internal. And symptoms. Correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, but yeah, so you would have already experienced those things because of the mental disorder that you already have. Then you're experiencing the mania. Then on top of it, you have the drug use.
Yeah, the drugs themselves.
It's just, all compounds. But what's interesting is that you think that in a way, subconsciously or otherwise, that you're medicating yourself and that it's helping.
It's helping.
Rifle Paper Company is known for their high-quality, handmade designs that are sure to brighten and lighten up every room in your home. Rifle Paper has been creating one-of-a-kind designs since 2009. From stationery to decor, find your favorite design and shop from there. My favorite design is Bramble. I can get this design in duvets, tumblers, an ottoman, and even wallpaper. Nathan and Anna Bond are a husband and wife team, and they are the brilliant minds behind Rifle Paper Company, which is fueled by local Florida printers. Click the link in the show notes to receive an exclusive offer today. Rifle Paper Company, quality products that bring beauty into the everyday.
Another disorder, like I mentioned earlier, that typically comes with mania is seasonal affective disorder, or SAD. When the poor weather that causes the depression changes, it can cause manic episodes to prevent themselves in patients with SAD. This may cause patients to engage in risky behaviors, substance abuse, and other things that may be dangerous or unhealthy for them. So what are some symptoms that mania is happening? We just saw signs leading up to it, but if those signs are missed, it may be time to start to look for symptoms of the mania.
Oh, so there like it is, said. Signs and symptoms, sorry, not side effects.
Additionally, if you think you may be experiencing a manic episode, these are good things to look for internally as well. Especially because some of these things you would not be able to see from an outside perspective. Mm-hmm. That being said, these include delusions or hallucinations, talking a lot or speaking too loudly, mostly when it's out of character for the person.
I was on break earlier today and one of my coworkers walked past me, but I didn't know she was in the other room, and I could have sworn that I was talking out loud to myself about my salad. And she walked behind me and I was like, how long have you been there? She's like, oh, I've just been there. And I was like, oh, okay. Was I talking to myself? She goes, no. And I said, oh, okay. I could have sworn I was talking to myself. She goes, oh, that happens to me all the time. And I was like, okay.
I talk to myself all the time.
Yeah. So, sorry. It must be when you said, like you said, out of character for that person.
Yeah, like, I talk a lot, mm-hmm. but that's very in character for me.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be a manic symptom in my personality.
Okay.
Moving forward, hostility, aggression, becoming easily distracted, hypersexuality, racing or fleeting thoughts, sudden changes in style or clothing choice, thoughts of suicide, and obsession of anything specific. But I thought that the sudden change in clothing is interesting.
That's me.
It's like make a giant style change.
Well, yeah. I do fluctuate between wearing jeans and a t-shirt or jeans and a tank top to wearing like dresses and skirts and stuff. But I think it's more of a seasonal thing.
Yeah, and I do that too. No, I think that it would be, like, concerning if you all of a sudden started wearing, like, a bunch of camo. Like, that would be concerning, because that's a major weird, style change for
that
you.
Is so weird. I hate camo.
I own a lot of camo. I
hate camo.
So, what causes mania? There are many different things that can cause mania to present itself, and not all of them have to do with mental illness. Other common causes and triggers of mania include, but are not limited to, brain trauma, some types of tumors, dementia, lupus, certain medications, drug or alcohol abuse, strokes, acute stress, hypothyroidism, financial stress, and others. So a lot of things. You don't have to be mentally ill to experience mania.
Just checking off lists in all my head.
If someone is experiencing what they think may be signs or symptoms of mania, it's best to talk to a mental health professional to get screened properly. Psychiatrists, neuropsychologists, and others are professionals who can evaluate someone to determine their mental state. However, since mania is most commonly a symptom of mental health disorders, it is likely to be diagnosed alongside a mental health condition. Manic episodes can actually be diagnosed on their own as well.
Hmm.
Like if you have, let's say, a stroke, and then you have a manic episode from that, you're not going to get diagnosed with bipolar disorder, you know?
Yeah.
You're just going to get diagnosed with the manic episode. Hmm. So this is straight out of the DSM-5. Symptom criteria for a manic episode diagnosis includes, 1, a distinct period of abnormally and persistently elevated, expansive, or irritable mood. 2, abnormally persistent increased goal-directed activity or energy, and 3, both must last for at least 1 week and be present most of the day, nearly every day, or for any duration if hospitalization is needed.
I can't even imagine having mania that often.
Oh, yeah. That's got to be very, very hard on your body.
It's got to be difficult.
On top of this, three or more of the following symptoms must also be present and represent a noticeable change from usual behavior. These include inflated self-esteem or grandiosity, decreased need for sleep, more talkative than usual or pressured to keep talking, flight of ideas or subjective experience that thoughts are racing, distractibility, increase in goal-directed activity or psychomotor agitation, and lastly, excessive involvement in activities that have a high potential for painful consequences. So treatment for mania can vary from person to person, but the best way to stop a manic episode is to begin with acknowledging its existence. Most diagnoses of mania are pervasive, meaning they are treatable but not curable. So a person will most likely need treatment for the remainder of their lives with this type of diagnosis.
That's interesting.
Common types of therapy that are used to help treat symptoms of mania include cognitive behavioral therapy, dialectical behavioral therapy, family therapy, interpersonal therapy, and social rhythm therapy. If you want to deep dive on those, go listen to our most recent mental breakdown, because I literally broke all those down. On top of therapy, medication is commonly prescribed for mania. A medication regimen will vary depending on severity, but standard medication for mania typically include antipsychotics, such as Abilify, Abilify, Latuda, Risperdal, Seroquel, Vraylar, and Zyprexa. Mood stabilizers such as lithium, Tegretol, Depakote, and Lamisetol, and anticonvulsants, including some listed above, they're the same ones, as well as benzodiazepines such as Xanax, Klonopin, and Valium. I can say all those really easily.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So these all may be prescribed just depending, again, on the situation. On top of all of these things, lifestyle changes are also encouraged for patients experiencing mania. These include, but are not limited to, exercise, breathing techniques, meditation, positive self-talk, changes in diets, proper sleep, journaling, medication and treatment compliance, safety and crisis planning, familial and other social support, support groups, and avoidance of substance abuse. So just for grins, I wrote out some types of mania that are common among killers, since we do talk about killers a lot, obviously. So the first one is egomania, which is the obsession of oneself. So that could be like a narcissistic trait. And then people, you know, obviously we see a lot of narcissists on our list.
Yeah, egotistical. Yeah.
Erotomania, which is obsession with sexual desire from others or sexual attraction from strangers, which again may cause a homicide to occur. General hypermania could make sense, just hypermanic in general. Kleptomania, which we know to be an obsession with stealing. However, it could lead to a homicide if one is desperate enough. We actually had a carjacking that turned homicide happen here yesterday, right down the street from us. 13-year-old kid was the perpetrator. So it can absolutely happen if you're really desirable to steal something and then someone is in your way.
Yeah, I think just to kind of piggyback on what you're saying, it doesn't necessarily mean objects either. It could mean people.
That's true.
That you want to steal or take something, someone.
That's a very good point.
Keep something of someone's.
That's true. Yeah.
So we see that sometimes in cases where people might keep a souvenir.
Yeah,
or,
trophy.
God forbid, a part of the body, you know?
Yeah. Micromania is obsession with self-deprecation, while mythomania is obsession with lying. Again, these are all not directly related to killing, but it could have something to do with it.
Mythomania,
yeah, probably. Sorry. Necromania is obsession with being sexual with dead bodies, similar to necrophilia. Plutomania is being obsessed with money or wealth. That could also lead to a homicide taking place. Pyromania, of course, is the obsession with fire or starting fires. Satyromania is the excessive, often uncontrollable, sexual desire, specifically in men, and that could also lead to homicide. And just one that I wanted to pepper in because I think it's funny, and it's actually like a real word, it's called Beatlemania, and it's the obsession with the Beatles. Like the band.
Yeah, Beatlemania. That was like a whole thing.
But that's like a thing online. Like it's a whole definition and everything. Like
what are they called that? They called it the British Invasion, but yeah, like Beatlemania.
That's so funny. So, just lastly, we may have already mentioned some of these people in previous episodes, but I do have some celebrities that have been open about their bipolar disorder diagnoses. Mm. Although we might not have mentioned it because we haven't done an episode on that.
Shame on us.
I know.
So bad.
The first one is Kanye West, and I found this out while I was doing research. Apparently, he changed his name to Ye recently.
Mm-hmm. He's Ye, artist formerly known as Kanye.
Got it. Okay. So, Ye was diagnosed with bipolar disorder in 2016, and his behavior has commonly been talked about in the media as being that of mania. Ye would comment publicly on this, stating, quote, "It's cheap and dismissive to say I'm off my meds anytime I speak up," end quote. He has also described being bipolar as his, quote, superpower, and even said that he's glad his mother did not fully medicate him from an early age because he, quote, "might have never been Ye," end quote.
Well,
word of the wise.
I mean,
just kidding.
That's some, in my opinion, of course, this is only my opinion. That's someone I feel like is a case where someone hasn't had the help that they needed.
Yeah, of course.
And instead is surrounded by people that are yes men.
And they're encouraging,
because
like,
they're employed by him, mm-hmm. let's be honest, right? Yeah. Like, they're employed by him, his security, and, you know, whatever else is going on there.
Yeah.
And so they're all yes men. There's not really someone that's, unfortunately, going to be willing to stand up, speak up for him.
Of course.
He's going through these symptoms.
Yeah, I agree. And it's definitely got to be hard to be in the public eye and be so publicly sick, you know,
yeah.
And then having half the people probably say, "You're crazy," or whatever. Other half people being like, "Hell yeah, you do you," you know.
Yeah.
There's probably not a lot of people that are like, "Hey, can I evaluate you?"
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I think you need some space or some time.
Yeah.
To kind of, I'm sure, especially with the mania symptoms that you've listed off, him being very, very busy and doing things all the time probably don't allow him that moment
for
to
sure.
just breathe and really evaluate himself, let yeah. alone someone else.
And when he does have manic symptoms, people are like, "Well, that's just Kanye," you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
So number two is actually Selena Gomez. She was diagnosed in 2018, and she stated that she never knew she was struggling with bipolar disorder until she was diagnosed. She stated, quote, "I think when I started hitting my early 20s is when I started to feel like I was not in control of what I was feeling, whether that was really great or really bad," end quote. Number three is Mariah Carey. Mariah stated that she suffered with bipolar disorder in silence for many years because she did not want to believe that she was struggling with the disorder. She stated, quote, "Until recently, I lived in denial and isolation and in constant fear someone would expose me. I simply couldn't do that anymore. I sought and received treatment and got back to doing what I love, writing songs and making music," end quote.
Good for her.
I think so,
too. She was on the struggle bus for a little bit.
Yeah, for
sure.
I
don't mean to say that lightly. I'm just saying, you know, she was out of the public eye for a long time.
Yeah.
Her and Nick Cannon going through all that stuff. A friend of mine met her once at a resort, that he was working at, and he said that she smells really nice.
Oh,
and I'm
that's
like,
good. I'm happy for her.
I'm glad.
I'm glad for her. Number four is Melly Gibson's.
I'm sorry, who?
Or Mel Gibson, as people who aren't his friends call him.
Oh, I'm just kidding. Oh, you and Melly are on
yeah,
Melly terms.
We're homies. So it is.
Melly Gibbs.
MG.
The other Gibbs brother.
What?
It's Barry, Robin, and Melly Gibbs.
Melly Gibbs. I don't even know who those people are. I'm sorry.
It's Staying Alive. What is it?
The Bee Gees?
Both of us. The Bee Gees? Yeah, the Bee Gees.
Oh, I didn't know that. That was their last name.
Yeah. Barry Gibbs and Robin Gibbs. They're in the Bee Gees.
And Melly Gibbs.
And Melly Gibbs. Their lesser known cousin.
So Mel Gibson recently got in trouble for his violent outburst. I don't really know about this, but this is just what it said on the source that I read. He actually got arrested for a DUI, and a psychiatrist would actually speak on his behalf, stating, quote, "Bipolar can lower your impulse control, end quote. Mel actually first revealed that he had bipolar disorder in 2008, stating, quote, "I had really good highs, but some very low lows," end quote.
You didn't know anything about the whole Mel Gibson thingy?
I don't really follow celebrities. I really don't.
It was huge. Well, I mean, it was clearly a long time ago, but,
yeah.
You know, it was a really big deal. Like, he had recordings of him saying anti-Semitic comments.
Oh, gross.
And just a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
But Apocalypto, great movie.
Yeah, there you go. And also, of course, the psychiatrist saying that bipolar disorder can lower impulse control obviously is not suggesting that that's an excuse for
no,
any
of
behavior.
No, of course not. For any, yeah, but especially as it pertains to racism or any
yeah,
other
sure.
stuff or, you know, being a bigot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And last but not least, number five is Demi Lovato. Demi has been open about her mental health struggles, and she recently spoke out about how she was having symptoms of bipolar disorder at the age of 15. She was speaking about being on a tour bus and seeing fans outside trying to get her to wave back to them. Mm-hmm. And she stated about this, quote, "And all I could do was just sit there and cry," end quote. She stated when she finally got her diagnosis, she was, quote, "so relieved," which is nice. It was like, essentially, it's like, okay, thank God, like, now I can get help for this.
You know, and what not it's called. To worry.
Yeah, right.
And you know how to acknowledge it. And you know, I said earlier, acknowledging it is part of it, is part of the growth, because it's also part of the acceptance, but it's definitely a starting point for, okay, this is what it is.
Yeah.
Let's move forward.
How can I get better now that I know what to call this?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I have.
Yeah. And just a reminder to everyone that Demi Lovato has began using she, her pronouns again, although she does identify as non-binary.
Yeah. Yeah. I made sure to look that up because I didn't want to be insensitive.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's types of manias and I guess certain disorders that come along with it.
Yeah. That is really interesting stuff.
Yeah. And why the fuck? Okay. So we're going to have to do an episode of bipolar disorder, I guess. Cause
yeah.
That's so funny. I think it was like me, like I don't personally for myself, like, maybe not even, like, not even realizing that I wasn't tackling it for a reason, you know? Like, I was like, I just figured we've talked about it enough. We must have done a mental breakdown on it.
Nope. No, but maybe it is. Yeah, maybe it's a subconscious thing.
Yeah, for sure. Do you have anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay, well, that's a wrap for today. Yeah. Just get excited, guys. We have this week's case, and then we have something really big that we're bringing you following that. Mm-hmm. So just get excited for a lot of really great content coming up. Make sure to get your tickets for the podcast festival, and we will talk to you guys later.
Yeah, if you want to support us monetarily, make sure you join that Patreon. We got that brand new tier one up. Go check that out.
Yeah.
Send us some shipping information, and you will get free stuff.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Okay. Love you.
Bye.
Looking for a new perfume or cologne to match your style? Scentbird has got you covered. With over 600 scents to fall in love with, Scentbird is a fragrance subscription box that will give you plenty of choices. Just choose what you would like from their best sellers, activate your subscription, and receive your first 120 spray bottle. Click the link in the show notes now to receive an exclusive offer with Scentbird.